morning. What we're going to experience this morning in chapel is, in my own judgment, a way of doing theology, a way of speaking about personal encounter, about divine encounter, a way of affirming that God is alive and active in our individual and in our corporate histories. Each song that Carol's going to sing for you this morning has a particular story behind it, and she'll be sharing that with you before she presents each song. The stories come out of her own encounter with different people in her lives, about who they've been for her and who she's been for them. But theology is only important, it only lives for us, insofar as we hold it to be true. And that means that in Carol's stories this morning, we are not looking just for hers, but for those parts of her own story which belong to us as well, that we can call our own. Carol has been for me from time to time, and always when she's been needed, a priest in my private church. So it's with a great sense of joy, a deep one really, that I know that she will be the same for you this morning.
Nearly 11 months ago, a tiny baby came screaming and dancing into this world. His name is Jonathan. He's my nephew. Looking and holding that child, I thought about the fact that here is a life uninhibited, unafraid of how he'll be, quite unlike me. And I've sensed a new gift of life in this child. And my hope is that as he grows and as we love together, that I will give him room to grow. And I hope that I will never feel a need to impose my values and my feelings on him, but to hold him close and yet give him room to grow and dance his life. Special person in my life is my nephew Brent. He's 7 years old. We've shared a lot together, and in many ways I can say that he has been my teacher. Brent, his mom, and his stepfather Charlie live in a very small house on Baxter Street in Columbia. And Brent has an apple tree in his backyard that he claims is his very own. Almost 2 years ago, he discovered a book called If Jesus Came to My House. The book is a story of a little boy's fantasy about what he would really do if Jesus walked up and knocked on his door and said, "Hey, I'd like to spend the afternoon with you." He sat with me and told me that story from A to Z with excitement that never left me. I made a journey back here to school my first year, and that stayed with me, and I sat down and wrote a song called If Jesus Came to My House with Bryn in mind. And in the past few years, the song has been very special for him, for me, and really for my whole family. I would like to share that with you now. It's real every time I sing it, and makes him even more real for me. If Jesus came to my house, I'd ask him to come in. If Jesus came to my house, I would treat him like a friend. If Jesus came to my house on Tuesday afternoon, I'd ask him please to come back and see me again real soon. If Jesus came to my house, I'd give him all the best. If Jesus came to my house, I'd give a pillow for his rest. If Jesus came to my house, I'd ask him please to stay inside my heart forever and never go away. If Jesus came to my house, he'd eat with mom and me. If Jesus came to my house, I would show him my apple tree. If Jesus came to my house, we'd climb on Charlie's knee, then ride my bike together up and down on Baxter Street. At our house now, because we love him so, and he knows we care about him too, wherever we may go. Since Jesus came to our house, we treat him like a friend and show his love to others and ask them to.
Almost 2 years ago, I had a long-distance phone call from my mother. I learned a lot and shared a lot during that telephone conversation. And for the first time in my life, I heard the woman, the mother, the person who always had things so under control, who always seemed to be on top of every situation. I heard that woman say to me for the first time, "I don't know what's happening with me anymore. I don't know what I feel anymore." I learned in that conversation that part of what her struggle was considering the possibility of a divorce. And I knew that I had no idea of all the meanings that had for her in her space. I felt a need to say several things to my mother that time. The first thing that I remember saying was, "Mom, I love you." The second thing that I said to my mother was, "Mom, regardless of the outcome of the decisions that are made, I'm with you and I'm for you." But I also felt a need to say one other thing to her that day, and that was this: "Mom, it's okay to struggle to find out how you feel. It's okay with me. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid. It's okay to struggle to find out how you feel." And I realized then, and I've realized time and time again, that what was taking place with her was that she was trying very much to get back in touch with that flow, that spirit in her life, which allows her to be the most of who she can be. I hung up the phone and got this thing out and started writing. And the song I wrote for my mother was written with very much love, and I've had many occasion to sing that song with other people, and just in the silence of my meanness, The song is called Go With The Flow, and every time I do this song, my river starts flowing again. I hope maybe this song can touch you where you are. Along my journey, since I've been in this place, I've been up and I've been down. I've been able to dance and I've been also frozen, sometimes unable to move. By and large, the person who has been with me in these journeys and in my frozen moments has been Susan. She has priested me in many ways. If we're lucky in our lives, we claim such persons in our growing times and in our still times of pain. Most of all, I guess the gift that has been given me is that she has helped me understand my need for healing. So I would like to share this song with you and for the one who has been a private priest.
Return our temple.
Summer, I had the experience of sharing with Susan as she found out the loss of her grandmother. That time was a time of grief that I could not begin to reach or to lay hold on. Susan shared much of her grief with me, her sadness, and her anger, and her anguish. But more than that, in the moments that we shared, she shared with me something of the spirit of the woman that outlives all recollection and all anguish. That day, I walked with her to a car as she left to return home. And there weren't many words exchanged between us, but I put my arms around her and said, "Susan, I love you, and you'll be in my heart." And I watched her drive away and walked back to my room and again picked up my guitar and started to write. The song that I wrote was to the memory of her grandmother, to the feelings that Susan shared, to who this woman was in her life. And I shared it some weeks later with my roommate. And at that time, I realized that this song somehow had more meaning, that it says, expresses some of the feelings that, at least for right now, I think that I will have on my mother's dying day. There is a sense of grief and sadness, but for those of us who faith life in Jesus Christ, there is a sense of celebration that none can take from us, and that in some moments we cannot share with anyone else. And that's really the way it is. And her name will be what's real in me. Much of what we don't talk about is the unlovely. Our eyes are closed for much of our life space. I have seen battered children in my life. I have seen battered wives, have been one, and know of others. The pain is real, and yet we close our eyes. I wish to share with you now Lamentation. Inside ourselves, we try to look inside each other into spaces and places for that which can save. And in all our looking, sometimes we already have, and yet what we have is what we deny. I would like to share with you now some of my feelings about looking for a savior. Some say Jesus is coming, might be in the morning, and they're looking for a savior. Some folks look for fire and blood and miss God. My first day at Southeastern Seminary, wandering around Staley Hall with my youngest sister draped on one arm and my mom draped on the other, I was in the rotunda, Staley Hall, and around the corner and up the stairs came a rather lean man with a beard, had a briefcase in one hand. I believe he had on a pair of jeans and a blue denim shirt that day. He turned around and looked at me and said, "I don't believe I know you. I'm John Steele." I've never forgotten that. And through my years here, John Steele has been, mostly in silent ways, a gift of gentle spirit that I have not seen in many people. Not long ago, for a gift of expression of my joy, my gratitude, I struggled to write a song to give to this man, and I tried hard to finish it on his birthday, and I worked up to 9 o'clock that night, and I just didn't get it finished, but I did manage to tell him that day that I had this gift that I wanted to come by, but I wanted to share it at a time when he and Donna were together, because it is an expression to both of them, for both of them. So the following day, I spent a very beautiful hour with two beautiful people. They sat on the couch and I sat on the floor, and I gave them this gift on cassette tape so they could keep, and I'm glad I did. I would like to share this song with you. As I leave this place and the years might come between our lives, I will think of John Steele with love every now and then. Every now and then I just want to tell you just how you've touched my life and made me want to grow. And every now and then I feel your gentle spirit, and I want to seek your presence to feast with you. The most difficult struggle and search of my life has been the search to find my father. I'm not talking about where he is physically. I know where he lives. I can go there. I do go there. But I'm talking about the search to find my daddy, the man inside with the feelings. All my life, I've walked around with feelings of distrust, of fear, sometimes a lot of hatred for someone I really didn't know. Though as a child, we did many things together. My dad taught me how to hunt and fish, climb a tree, take care of my car. A lot of things for which I'm very grateful. But all that time, I was afraid of him and the sometimes violent things he would do. When I came here to Southeastern, September of 1976, his birthday rolled around and I just couldn't carry this burden inside anymore. I bought a birthday card and suddenly found myself pouring out my guts in this birthday card, saying all the things that I had wanted to say for so many years, telling him that I was afraid, telling him that I wanted to know him, wanted him to know me, but afraid of rejection. Well, that card sat on my desk for 3 days. I was really pretty scared to mail it. But I finally did. One of the things I said in the closing of that card was, "Daddy, write me back as soon as you can. Let me know, you know, where you're coming from, how you've taken all this. Don't leave me hanging," because I was supposed to go home in about 5 weeks. Well, 4 weeks rolled around, and I never heard from my father. And that fifth weekend rolled around, and I got in my car, and I think I shook all the way from Wake Forest to Columbia. I got home, walked in my parents' house, and took my suitcase back to my room and started to unpack. And I turned around, and there standing in the door was my dad with this letter that was about yay thick. He never got around to mailing his. He left me alone in that bedroom, and I read things that I never even dreamed he would say to me. He talked about his feelings of sometimes feeling a little off the wall in a family of 5 daughters and a wife, how he sometimes felt unable to relate, and most of the time, unable to express his feelings, how in his advancing years he felt alone. I finished that letter and walked up to the den and found him pacing back and forth in front of the TV, just as scared as I was. And for the first time, with a sense of deliberation, I walked up to my father and put my arms around him and said, "Daddy, I love you." Now, I learned a lot of things from that experience, and we're still learning. But I learned that my daddy's just like me. He has a need to be touched, to be affirmed, not only in his moments of weakness, but in his moments of strength and celebration. And I learned that through all those years, though in a different way, and sometimes unseen ways, my father was searching, just like me. We all search for someone or something. I'd like to share, in closing now with you, a song from my father called "Searching for My Father."
Wanting him to Will you pray with me? We have stood this day on holy ground, and we have together experienced a homecoming. So may we now depart in the peace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.